My gifting in this life is not to preach at your head. My gifting in this life is to preach at your heart. And so it's beautiful to have teachers, but I'm not yet to teach this morning. I'm really just simply the calling in my life is to open up the door so that people can experience Jesus. That's all I do. So I'm trusting that this morning, because where I actually want to stand is I want to stand here at the back so that nobody can see me. And then if I could have a picture of Jesus, and by the way, it's not a nice picture like most people have, this beautiful white person with a beard, with the long hair and the makeup. Jesus wasn't looking very nice. He wasn't a beautiful person. Did you know that? And he was most probably black. Think about that a little bit later. So what I would like to have done is stand behind the screen and just preach at you, but that's going to get a bit boring. I'll just have to look down under, and just if I could flash the name of Jesus on you, that then I would have been fulfilled. But unfortunately, sometimes people want to see a face. But in any case, before I fall on my face, I've got a question for you. I'm just obedient. I've been doing that the past couple of weeks. So I start every sermon with one simple question. How big is your God? We sang about it this morning, but I want to ask you, how big is your God? Because your answer will determine a lot. I'm not asking a question about how big is the God of the Bible, how big is the God of your parents, or how big is the God of the church that you belong to. I'm not asking a question like that. I'm not asking what is the perception of the people around you, how big is the God that the world out there, how big do they see? Now, I'm asking you a question. How big is the God that you serve? How big is your God? Don't be quick to answer. I want you to think about that. Because your answer is going to determine a lot. How big is your God? I'm going to start with a story. I've got a good friend in India, Pastor Isaac Raj. We preached at a little church there in a village, a very remote village. It took us about a day to travel there. And as we got there, we were preaching, and that evening some stuff happened that I could still not explain to today. I'm not going to go into that to today. I don't know exactly what happened there, but God delivered a lot of people and lots of things happened. The next day, as we traveled off again, that same building that we were in were burnt down. And the pastor's wife was abducted. They took her into the remote areas of the bush. And for 3 days we prayed. And God delivered her without any harm or anything. And I'll never forget what that pastor said to me that day. Because his wife was up there in the bushes somewhere. He didn't know whether she was going to come back alive because lots of these guerrilla terrorist type of people abducted her. And and as I spoke to the pastor as we were praying those 3 days, the pastor said to me, even if they kill my wife, I will not go from this place. Because they said, that was the thing they said to him. They said, you must leave. If you leave, we'll send your wife after you. If you don't leave, we'll kill your wife. And it was one of those moments that challenged me a lot. Because I would have probably have left. But he said that God gave him a word to be there. And he's not going to go until God tells him to go. So whatever happens, he's going to remain worshiping God. And so he stayed. And we prayed for 3 days, and after 3 days, they just supernaturally let her go. And then I heard the story of this little church, how it was started. Years ago, Pastor Isaac and these guys went up the mountains, and once a year they go to a remote village where they reach out to people that have never heard the gospel, because there are lots of unreached groups like that in India still, especially in the remote areas of India. And so they went with little jackets, white jackets up there, because that's what God told them. So they sort of traveled up and they got to the village, and then they realized they've got a bit of a problem. This village are cannibals. They still eat humans. They capture humans and then they eat them. So here they get to this little village and the village people capture them, because you are going to be our dinner. You know, just imagine that. You come to a village to preach and they think, oh, wonderful, come inside. We're going to have you. You know, we're not going to have the gospel. We're going to have you for dinner. So So they captured them, and then the chief came, and then the chief had a dream the evening about, and there was a story in their ancestral lines that came down of people with white robes that came to do research there. And so then he realized, no, they can't eat these people. They're really looking good and they're really looking nice, but they can't eat them. So then he allowed them to stay there because they said they're researchers. That's what God told them to do. So what they did every day, they would like travel out of the city, and then they'd go and pray the whole day in the bush for this little village. And then the evenings they would come back, and they were there for 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks. And then at a stage they prayed and they said, okay, Lord, we haven't got an idea how to reach these people, but you must tell us. And so what happened is the daughter of the chief got sick. And then they took oil. And they said to the chief, like the Hindus do, they do mantras. They say the same stories over and over, the same little lines over and over again. So they were doing this mantra, you know. And then they said to the chief, well, all you need to do is you need to take this oil, and then you need to take it and as many times as you want to during the day, just take the oil, put it on your daughter, and say, the blood of Jesus Christ heals you. So that's what the chief did. The daughter came, she had a high fever, they all thought they were preparing for a death, all that stuff, and so. But then the chief just decided he's going to do that. And then Pastor Isaac and them left. And what happened is, after 3 days, this daughter got supernaturally healed. Because they were saying these mantras. They didn't know, they didn't have a clue what they were saying. But they was, you just put the oil on and said, the blood of Jesus heals. That like the mantras over and over. So after 3 days, the daughter just got out of the coma. She stood up and she was healed instantly. And so these Christians walked out. They stayed for 3 weeks. And after 3 weeks, God said they must go back again to this village. So as he got back to the village, this cannibal guy, chief, came running to them and said to them, look here, that oil that you brought has finished. Because what happened is after my daughter got healed, the whole village got sick. People just got sick all over, and then we just started to take the oil and we rubbed it on everybody and we said the same mantra over and over again. And people just got healed, just like that. They all got healed all over the place. And there was like just such an amazing thing happening. But the problem is after a couple of days, the oil ran out. There was no more oil. So we've got a problem. You must give us some more oil. Then the pastor said, I've got very bad news for you. I've got no more oil. She said, no, you can't. This is really, this is absurd. You cannot have oil. But he said, but I've got good news for you as well. I can introduce you to the person who has made this oil. The oil is actually just the vessel that he uses. It's the anointing on his life. So I said, yes, we must meet this person. He said, he's actually is God, but he's not just one of the gods. It's the name that you used, saying it over and over his life, the name of Jesus, that's him. And then that day the chief accepted him. And the whole village became Christian. I love it when a plan comes together. Let's give God a shout. Amen. The reason why I'm telling that story is very simply, we're not going to use oil today, but I wanted to introduce you to the one who is the healer and the savior and the deliverer. But there's sometimes a little bit of challenges in our hearts, and I want to especially speak to the people right at the back there, all the young people. God wants to touch you today. But God is a gentleman. We're going to read a little story, two stories. Are you with me? I'm talking about when Jesus passes by. Do you know Jesus would many times come to visit us? And he'll sort of walk by and then he's on a mission. Jesus is always going somewhere. And Jesus loves it to be interrupted. He loves it when you and I interrupt him on his mission somewhere. Jesus always has time for you and I. Did you know that? I'm just always thinking about this morning we're worshiping God and we're experiencing Him and there's so many things happening. But there are people and Christians all over the world worshiping Him. And Jesus has got time and the Father has time for everybody. Because He pays attention, 100% attention to everybody at the same time. So while you are praying now as you're sitting or this morning when you prayed or when you worship, it's like God's 100% is attention is on you. But there's somebody sitting in China and in India and in Brazil, all over the world, people are also worshiping God, and His 100% attention is on them as well. But so is God's attention on the world and the unsaved people out there because of His love. There's only once that He turned His face away from a person and rejected a person. Did you know when that was? It was for His own Son, Jesus Christ. So that He never needs to do that when you and I come into His presence. Are you with me this morning? Let's read about two people that encountered Jesus. Mark chapter 5. And a certain woman who had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and had not been bettered any, but rather came to worse. Having heard about Jesus, she came in the press behind Him and touched His garment. For she said, "If I may but touch only His clothes, I will be cured." And instantly, the fountain of her blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And knowing instantly with himself, that's Jesus, that power, I love the New King James that says, virtue had gone out of Him, Jesus turned Himself around in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And His disciples said to Him, "You see the crowd pressing on you, and you do say, 'Who touched me?'" And He looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had been done in her, came and fell down before Him and told Him all the truth. Okay, a very, very simple story. We all have heard this story of a woman that had a bit of a problem. This woman had a bit of a label on her life. She had the issue, the flow of blood. She had a massive problem. And Scripture says that she went to doctors for many years and she spent everything she had. So it was a desperate woman. Simply, she had a massive need. The only problem is, if we understand the Jewish culture, you'll understand that this woman not just had a personal need, she also had a challenge in the environment that she was, because she was called unclean. And that would mean that if she would walk out this door, or if she would come into this room today, that same woman, then she had to shout something. She had to say, "I am unclean, I am unclean, I am unclean," 3 times. If she did not do that, then we, if we were the Jewish culture, would have the right to stone her. And stone is, it's not anything to do with drugs. It's like these big stones that they use. Kaddish, okay? It's not our environment. It's like they stone people in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, okay? So then, if she would come in here and not scream those words, she would put her life at risk, because we would have the right to kill her. Because what would happen if she would touch one of us? We would immediately be called unclean. And then we had to go and wash and bathe. So she would run down here and just touch everybody and say, "Touch, touch, touch, touch," you know. On. If she would want to play on. What is that in English? On. If she would want to play on, then very simply, we would all have to go and get out of society, get into your house, go and clean yourself, wash yourself, and stay in your room for 24 hours at least. So now, if you understand the context of this story, it is quite a profound story of somebody that had to get a timing right. Because yeah, she's taking her life at risk to go to Jesus. And there are lots of people around Jesus, and the problem is, she is not going to not touch those people before she gets to Jesus. Some people say, and some of the theologians say, that she actually went down on her knees and she crawled in between the people to touch the hem of His garment. And so there was a massive risk involved here. She had to scream unclean, but Scripture says she didn't. So here she goes out into public, and she's thinking, "I am going to lose my life here. If I reach out to Jesus and Jesus does not heal me, then I'm going to die." And you can see that in the reaction, because when she comes there to a place, and she says, verse 33, "But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had been done in her, came and fell down before Him." So there was an intense fear. Yeah, because she realized, she's got all the possibility to die in this moment. But here she goes. She sees Jesus walk there and there's massive crowds. I love this about Jesus. Do you know the crowds loved and followed Jesus? Go and read about it. You know, there's a couple of scriptures that say about Jesus that everybody wanted to touch him. They brought the sick. They brought the people to Jesus. Jesus just, you know, many times they had to go up into the mountain to go and pray in the mountains because people just loved hanging around Jesus. I want to ask you, Christian, if you're a Christian here this morning, I want to ask you, do people love hanging around you because you remind them of Jesus? Or are we so on a mission somewhere that we forget to be Christ-like? The greatest compliment that somebody can ever give you in your life, if you're a believer here this morning, is if somebody tells you that you remind them of Jesus. Hello. Are you with me this morning? The people at the back there, just wave at me. Maybe I must come there because you look so far. This is why I see all the beautiful people. Does this thing work back here? Okay. Hello. There's a whole crowd of beautiful people sitting at the back here. Just wave at me again. I see that wave, yeah. Smile, smile, smile. You just see beautiful teeth all over. Did you brush your teeth, all of you? Okay. I trust so. But you know, the most amazing thing is that this Jesus, he loved to be touched. He loved people to reach out to him. And this woman came to Jesus with a very specific thing. She knew that the hem of his garment, because he was a rabbi, represented the word of God. So she came and she didn't touch his head. She didn't rush off to touch his shoulders or just his hands. She reached out for the word of God because she realized there's a promise of healing. That if the Messiah would come and she recognized him as the Messiah, that he would be the word made flesh. And he would bring healing. So here she goes on her knees, she goes, she crawls, she reaches out to him, she touches him. And then I love what scripture says, that power or virtue flowed out of Jesus when she touched him. It's not just healing. Because this woman's problem was not just the physical things. There were lots of emotional challenges. And that's why when Jesus says twice to her, the first time when she touches him, she gets healed physically. But later on in the story, Jesus comes right there at the end. Just go on a little bit to the end of the story. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be whole from your plague. Now, scripture says at the beginning that she got healed physically. But that's not all she received when she touched Jesus. There was a much deeper thing that she had to get healing of. That labels that people placed on her. That depression. That stuff that she had to work through for years being wasted by just going to the doctors. Nobody can heal her. So the healing wasn't actually just the physical. The healing was much more. Jesus said, go and be whole from your plague. And that's what I love about Jesus. When Jesus walks into your life, he starts with the physical, but you know what? He makes everything new. He doesn't take you, and this is a picture I want to draw for some of us, because sometimes what we do is, this is how we think God deals with us. We think like it's like a massive vase, you know, a vase, big vase, you know, that you've broken on the floor. And it's scattered all over the place. And then you think, well, Jesus, what you need to come and do is, Jesus, come and patch me up. So you take all the little pieces. It's a really intense moment. And then you take all the pieces and you put it together. And then you sort of have sort of a semi-thing that's sort of hanging there. And then through the years, what's going to happen is like, maybe something is going to be whole some other time. But the most amazing thing about Jesus is for this woman, One word changed her life. He said, go and be whole. But that's what I love about Jesus, because Jesus is the truth. Truth is not doctrine. Truth is a person. So if Jesus would walk in here and he would start to say certain things, Do you know what the most amazing thing is? As he would say it, things would start to happen. Hello? Let me just get a nice hello from the back here again. What's your name? Frans. It's Afrikaans Frans. Frans, come here. Come here. You're going to help me preach. Okay. Frans, where do you come from? Waar kom jy vandaan? Who? Swakop. Oh, Swakop, Swakop. Okay. Now, Frans is, Frans is looking cool, eh? Huh? Can you see that? Yes. So, they have a good, beautiful smile. Okay. So, Frans has got blue on. Beautiful. Yes, he's not neatly dressed for church, eh? Yes, that's so cool. One day when I grow up, I want to be like Frans. Okay. So, you know, if I would walk in here today and I would say that Frans has got a beautiful yellow jacket and a green shirt on with pink trousers. Can you see that? Huh? Can you see that? It's colorful. Green, yellow, pink. Frans is... Come on, can't you see that? Okay, you can't, eh? Because if I would say that, I'm a liar. Would you agree with me? But if Jesus walks in here today, and Jesus would come and take his arms and put it around Frans, and he would say, can you see the yellow jacket? Frans has got a yellow jacket on. The moment when Jesus says that, this jacket will become yellow. The moment when he says, he's got a green shirt on, this shirt will turn green. Why? Because Jesus can never lie. Hello. Let's give Frans a round of applause, okay? Now, the problem is sometimes what happens in our lives is God begins to speak certain things over our lives and over your life and my life. And then we start to disagree with the truth. We start to believe that lie. Because if God says you're a son, you're no longer a slave, then that is the truth. If Jesus says you can walk on water, that is the truth. The fact says different. But the truth is a person and he cannot lie. So I loved it. I was once sitting with Reinhard Bonker. Some of you, how many of you know who Reinhard Bonker is? He's an evangelist up in Africa. And I was sitting at a table and then he said something so shocking that changed my life. It was more than 400 sermons. He looked up from eating his breakfast and just like a good German can do with fire in the eyes, he said, I am God's top servant in the world at the moment. Then he looked down and he went on eating. And I was sitting there, I was thinking, how can you say that? How can you be so full of pride, you know? You are missing the bus. You must be humble. But you know, when you read scripture, Moses wrote about Moses. And Moses was the most humble man that walked on the face of the earth. Moses wrote that about himself. Hello. Yeah. And then he told me a story. He told us a story there at the breakfast table. He said, no, he wanted to disagree with what God said. But the problem was he couldn't. Because three presidents of Africa phoned him up and said that an angel appeared to them in the middle of the night, telling them that God is sending his top servant in the world at the moment to them and to their nation, and they must open up their hearts and their nation to receive him so that he can do his crusades there. That's what the angel said to the president of the nation about Reinhard Bonker. So Reinhard stood there and he sat there and he said, but now who am I to disagree with God? I love it. Huh? Who am I to disagree? If God says it, then that's what it is. But now I must have this false humility of, ooh, I'm so no. Now I want to ask you today, what does God say about you? And what does God say about himself? Because that is truth. Stop believing the lie. Stop looking at all the wrong stuff in your life, all the negativity, and say to God, God, show me who you created me to be. Because you've made me a new creation in Christ. I'm not saying that we're not going to work through issues. There's some stuff in our lives. But you know, we need to come and stand before Jesus and say to Jesus, Jesus, I want to be whole. I want you to speak to me. I want you to release your word over me. Let's go to the second story. Are you still with me? I am just busy with the introduction. The doors are locked. Hallelujah. So we're going to have a good time. I don't come here often, so I must enjoy it when I'm here, and I'm enjoying it. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he was with his disciples, and a large crowd went out of Jericho, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was also a blind man, was sitting by the side of the highway begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many warned him that he should be quiet. But he cried out a great deal more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good comfort, rise up, he is calling you. And casting away his garment, he rose up and came to Jesus. And answering Jesus said to him, what do you desire I should do to you today? The blind man said to him, my Lord, that I may see again. And Jesus said to him, go, your faith has healed you. And instantly he saw again, and he followed Jesus in the way. We've read these stories so many times. I love them, and I've read them 300 times, and I'll read them another 500 times. Because there's something so beautiful as how Jesus interacted with people. Jesus was not religious. Jesus was accessible. I don't know where you are this morning, what is happening in your life, but I want to tell you, Jesus is accessible. But there's some stuff that must happen in this room today for you to reach that Jesus. Because he's not going to go to the cross again. He's been on the cross once. He died once and for all. He's not going to die again. He's not a baby in a manger, and he's not a carcass on a cross anymore. He's now the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so this guy was sitting there, and if you knew a little bit about the culture and the history and the background, a blind man would normally have a jacket on by which he was known. People could sit on the road on the way to the temple as Jesus was going. People could sit on the road and they would have a jacket as qualifying them to be a beggar. Because especially disabled people in those times, what would happen is you could sit, you had your little spot, and everybody as they would go to the temple, they had to give you money. So he had a good income by begging there, and he had quite a lot of security. A great comfort zone that he was in. Because he was looked after, but he was begging. So begging wasn't like we see beggars today running around. It was sort of, it was a job, it was an occupation. He got nice, you know, because Jesus and God, from the beginning, built up very good Christian principles in the Jewish culture to not have people enslaved. That's why Jesus said, I've come to proclaim the year of Jubilee, the year of the favor of the Lord. Because beautiful in the Jewish culture was always that every 50th year, everybody would be set free. All the land, everything that was, you know, sort of, we enslaved to somebody or something, the land would be given back to its original owners. So there were no bank loans. Amen. Hallelujah. We wish that would be it. Like, you know, no bank loans, no stuff. Because God knew that through cycles and generations, many people would be enslaved. And therefore, in the Jewish culture, he built in certain beautiful things. So Jesus said, I've come to declare the year of Jubilee. I've come to set all the slaves free. I've tell everybody, give back the land that the devil has stolen. That's what Jesus said. In very simple terms. But here comes this man, and he's sitting, he's begging on the streets. He's got like everything together in a sense. Except he's got a problem. He's blind. And so he hears about Jesus, and then he calls Jesus a very specific person in a very specific way. He doesn't just say Jesus, prophet. He says, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. He cries out twice. Because he understood that Jesus was a merciful God. God was merciful. He was not, and mercy is very simply means that where you deserve judgment, God will come to cover that mercy. Grace is something different. If we talk about grace, it's God's empowerment where you are weak. But mercy is something different. It's about God covering judgment. Because this man had to understand, and he probably understood, that he needs mercy. And we don't know what happened, why he was sitting there, why he was blind. We just knew that his dad was also blind. And then another translation, it actually says that, you know, the disciples asked about this blind person and said, now what on earth, why is he blind? And then Jesus just gave a simple answer. Well, it's so that God can be glorified right now. Sometimes God doesn't answer our questions because we sometimes ask stupid questions. We say, oh, Lord, are you trying to teach me through this suffering? No, 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 no. Where are you right now, and how can God be glorified through that situation? We try to be sometimes too intellectual around Jesus. So here comes this guy, cries out to Jesus. We know the story. Then Jesus calls him. He comes to stand before Jesus, and then Jesus asks him a very, very important question. There's a bit of a hype there. Everybody's excited. What's happening now? Then Jesus asks him, he says, what do you want me to do for you today? And because he's a gentleman, he never just assumes things. He never just rushes onto the scene, lays hands on people and say, be healed in Jesus' name. Every time people came to him, he only came when they invited him. I want to ask you a simple question. Is Jesus welcome in your home? Is Jesus welcome in your workplace? Is Jesus welcome in your car when you drive to work in the morning? Is Jesus welcome in your sleep? Is Jesus welcome where you go and what you do? Is Jesus welcome in your family? Have you welcomed him? He only comes upon invitation because he's a gentleman. And then he would ask very specific questions. But what do you want me to do for you today? Because there's a little issue of faith and trust. He says, if you are not going to believe who I am and who I say I am, if you're not going to believe that truth, do you know what? That truth will not change you. Because that truth will become a lie in your life. Because you will submit to the father of lies, who is the devil. Oh, slap foot. He's not even worth mentioning in this room this morning. But the thing is, Jesus would, like in the morning, like this morning, would come to stand in front of each one of us, and then he would just ask a very simple question. What do you want me to do for you today? And then he'll ask some other questions. What do you want me to do for Swakopmund today? And what do you want me to do for Namibia today and Windhoek today? What do you want me to do? And he's just waiting for Christians. He's just waiting for his sons and his daughters to tell him. He's waiting for you to tell him, to ask him. But only if you understand his mercy, only if you understand his heart. And so here this man had to do another thing. Before he came to Jesus, Scripture says that he had to throw off his jacket. Because that jacket represented his identity. That jacket represented who he was. He was a beggar. That jacket represented his security and his comfort. And before he could go up to Jesus, he had to take off the jacket and he had to throw the jacket down and say, I'm no longer a beggar. And then he went to Jesus. There's some of us here today that must throw off the jackets that your culture has placed on you, that society has placed on you, that a dad has said to you, you're never going to amount to anything, you're never going to be somebody, you're always going to be a loser, you're always going to be a bad. I don't know what the identity is. Or maybe your identity is like, whoa, I'm a great businessman. I'm making lots of money and I don't actually need anything. I don't actually need Jesus. I'm together. But in your heart, you know you're not. But you know, God, Jesus is not going to come in and he's going to do nothing for you. It's like when some people, you know, Scripture talks about the fact that we need to get baptized. So some people come to me sometimes and they say, well, Whoa, I'm asking for 10 confirmations whether I should get baptized or not. Then I tell them, do you know what? You're going to get no confirmations. God is not going to come to you. He's not going to say anything to you. Why? Because he's already said it 10 times in Scripture. If you don't believe the Scriptures, how are you going to believe an angel when he comes and appears to you? And he's not going to send an angel. Is that a bit tough? That's just very simply. It only comes upon invitation. If your my heart is open to receive from him. Are you with me today? But what jackets are you wearing? Because your jacket is really that identity or that label that people place upon you. And you need to throw it off. You need to get rid of that when you come to Jesus. Because do you know what? He wants to give you a new one. It's called his righteousness. It's called his identity. It's called his life. Are you with me? Okay, shake somebody next to you and say, we're going somewhere today. Okay, we've finished with the introduction. Okay. So, let's just get that next slide. There was some stuff that these two people had in common, and we're going to just focus on them a little bit. The first one, we would really say they were in a desperate situation. Would you agree with me? They were a bit desperate. We can see that. We can see an urgency on how they come to Jesus. There's some stuff in their hearts. Some stuff. Just imagine this. For years you've been suffering. For years you've been blind with this woman. You've spent everything. You've done everything that you could think of. And it didn't work. So you really, sort of, this lady was at the end of herself. The second thing is, both of them had a label or a false identity. Label that people put on them or label that generations was placed on them. We don't really know where the label came from the blind man, but we know he had a jacket. Because some people said some stuff about him and he was known as the blind man and the son of a blind man. So there were certain labels that he had to get rid of, certain fears, certain things that both of them had to get rid of, and it was going to cost him something. It's going to cost them their security. It's going to cost them their comfort. Or maybe even cost them their life. But have you heard what Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew chapter 16 verse 24? He said, if you want to follow me, there's some stuff that you need to do. You must deny your smoking. No, that's not what he said. You must deny your car. That's not what it said. You must deny your television. I almost said hellavision. You must deny 30 things for me. That's not what he said. If you want to follow me, you must deny yourself. Because the biggest problem in this world is not the devil. It's you. And the bad decisions you and I make. It's me. Itself. That's the biggest problem in your life. It's you. It's your selfish nature. Can somebody say amen? Thank you for that amen. It's true. So Jesus said, if you want to come to him, you must deny yourself. You must take up your cross, meaning that you want to do his will. You want to say, Lord, like Jesus said, my food is to do the will of my Father and to finish his work. I want to do your will and I want to finish your work. Love that about Jesus. It was that one focus. For 1 hour he came into this world and he died. And that 1 hour he fulfilled what God called him to do. But you see, there's certain labels, there's certain things. And there's a self we need to deny. We need to deny our comfort. Especially for the church in the West, we need to deny our comfort and our ability and our desire to have control. Our desire, our ability to have control. To control our environment, to control God. Because that's eventually what happens. You control your life so much that you try to control God. And then we quench the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, just like Jesus, the Holy Spirit only comes upon invitation. And there are two things that we can do. We can, actually three, we can blaspheme the Holy Spirit, but we can quench the Holy Spirit, or we can grieve the Holy Spirit. And when we grieve the Holy Spirit is very simply when we continue with certain sin cycles in our lives. But when we quench the Holy Spirit is when we ignore the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit becomes like a little wallpaper or like that little light sitting over there. Can you see? Let's use that light. See, the one is out and the other one is on. When you came in here, did you pay attention to that light? Did you see that light? No, we really didn't see it. Why? Because it's just part of the wall, part of the furniture. Okay? Part of our surrounding. Nobody saw that light really because it's supposed to do a little function, but it's out there on the wall. And do you know for how many Christians that's what the Holy Spirit becomes? Just something on the wall. Something that we sort of notice that provides a little bit of light. But the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit wants to dope your life . Wants to turn your life a little bit around. The Holy Spirit wants to do stuff that is going to feel that you're not in control 100% of the times. The Holy Spirit wants to interrupt your lifestyle. The Holy Spirit wants to show you and bring a fragrance of Jesus in your life. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Only where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is truly liberty. Only where the Holy Spirit is operating in a believer's life, there is true liberty. Not when we come to church and we're religious and we sing songs. It's only where the Holy Spirit has got a freedom to move in your my life. That's where there's liberty. And that's why Scripture says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. When we walk in the Spirit and we don't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. When we yield to the Holy Spirit. And that's why Scripture talks that we need to be continually filled. We need to continually be yielded to the Holy Spirit and His work in our life. Are you with me today? Laka laka. So, then we saw a third thing that they had. They were persistent. They were not going to take no for an answer. The woman and this blind man. He cried out twice. She went all the way. She said, well, I don't care about the crowds. I don't care about the people. I don't care about my labels. All I want to do is I want to have Jesus. There was a persistence. Too many people give up because they prayed once and then something doesn't happen. Have you read a story about Abraham and David and Jacob? Have you heard and read the stories that we find in the Old and New Testament? People that didn't give up. They were persistent. Because they were seeking. Scripture says, only those who ask, seek, and knock will find. Open up. Hear. You need to seek. You need to ask. You need to knock. It's not going to just fall into your lap. Hello. And then we see a honesty, raw vulnerability before God. And a faith in a person, Jesus Christ. You see, you and I, the only place where we can receive from God is if we're truly honest with what's going on in your heart. I want to ask you this question. What is going on in your heart today? You see, when we become hypocrites and religious is when we pretend we're somebody that we're not. We try to show the world that we're somebody special, we're somebody great. Oh, you know, now we have got like these two lives. One at home. And that's why God has blessed us with women as men, wives and husbands, because you cannot pretend around them. It's good to be married. Can all the men say a woman and all the women say amen? Okay. It keeps you humble. Because Scripture says, you know, we must humble ourselves. We must get married. I mean, the point, you know, but that's so great about life, you know. That's why we need to build in structures in our lives that will keep us humble. Because God is not going to humble us. If God begins to do that, oh, my chona machantas. Don't ever pray that. Don't say to God, please humble me. No, humility is a place before God. It's an attitude before God. No person can tell you whether you're humble or not. Only God will be able to tell you. Because it's a position before God. But you know, only when you're honest with Him, only when you share what's in your heart, what's going on, Can God come and heal you? Can the truth begin to manifest? Not when we're hypocrites, and especially not when we're religious. When we're trying to pretend somebody that we're not. I want to ask all these kids at the back here. Let's go and preach a little bit at the back again. I want to ask you, and I actually want to tell you, there's nothing you can hide from God. Did you know that? There's absolutely nothing that you can hide. You can pretend, but there's nothing we can hide from God. Did you know? Did you guys know that? Yes, you look like a whole rugby team together, yeah. Huh? Soccer team. You all got red and black on. Did you know that? And white. Have you noticed that? Are you brothers? In Christ. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. You had the right answer. Okay. But I want to tell us, when we become honest with God, and we don't stop, you know, that's unfortunately, I hate these stuff where people, you know, and especially preachers, they build these massive pedestals and then they pretend that they're not true and not just human. You know? I'm just a human person. And I happen to know the greatest king that has ever lived on the face of this earth. I just know, and I'm part of the greatest kingdom that has ever been around. And is still around. I just happen to know the word that is eternal. That is truth. And all I can do is I can just point people to Him. And say, look, are you begging on the street? Run to Him. Have you got an issue in your life? Run to Him. He's the healer. Do you need a Savior? He wants to save you today. But you know, have you ever noticed that a drowning person, how many of you have seen a drowning person? I've seen one person being going under. It's not a good sight. They don't float there, drinking a pineapple drink and say, I am going under and I'm enjoying the last moments of it. They don't do that. If you're a lifesaver, you know that if you swim out to that person, if you get close to them, what they're going to do is they're going to grab hold of you and you're going to go under with him. He says, come on, I want a buddy. I'm going under with you. I'm not going alone. Because why? They are desperate. So what you do is you throw them a life buoy. Let them grab that, and then you drag them out and you swim out. But you don't swim to them where they can grab hold of you if you're a lifeguard. Well, at least if you're a wise lifeguard. If you're a foolish one, you're also going to have a little cross there on the rocks. Okay? That's just a jokey joke, okay? So, a lame joke, okay? But anyway, so, but if you see somebody drowning, he shouts, save me! I need a savior! They throw up their hands. You know, now, I don't stand on the beach and say, oh, I see that hand. Can you see that hand? Yeah? Now what we do is we run in there, we get everything that we can because somebody needs a savior. But that person is desperate enough to acknowledge that he needs somebody to come and save him because he's drowning. She's drowning. It's not floating there and saying, oh, I'm checking out this little whatever standing in front there trying to make some lame jokes. Now I know in my heart that I'm desperate for a savior. I'm desperate for a healer. I'm desperate for the Holy Spirit because I'm in cycles. There's cycles in my life that needs to break over my life because I cannot continue in the way that I'm continuing. I need to repent. And that is what repentance means. I'm walking in one direction. Then I come to a realization I'm on the wrong road. I am in the wrong direction. There's no water in this place where I'm going. I'm walking straight into the Namib Desert. No, I have to turn around because Swakop is lying behind me. Beautiful place, lots of water, nice people. Let's go back that way. Because the road I am on is wrong. So I need a change of mind and of action. That's called repentance, metanoia, turning around. 180 degrees, walking in the road that Jesus has called us. And then it's easy to deny yourself. It's easy to take up your cross. Why? Because He's given you the capacity to do that. He's made you in a way because only He can be worshipped. Man cannot be worshipped. Women cannot be worshipped. You've not been made to worship. That's what the world tells you. But there's only one worthy of worship. And that's Him. There's only one worthy to lay your life down for. It's Him, because He's already done it. He will not ask you to do something that He has not done. And He's done it. So that makes it easy for you and I to follow Him. Will you stand with me? Today, James, we're going to sing a song. Okay, I've got good news and very good news. The good news is that Jesus is right here today. And He's walking by the road of your life. Lots of people are pressing for His attention. Lots of people are surrounding Him. And maybe you think that Jesus is too busy for you today, but He's not. But what you need to do, and I don't know where you're at today. Maybe you're a Christian here, you've been serving God for many years, and you're growing tired. You have become discouraged. You've sort of lost the plot a little bit. But that Jesus would come by your road every day, every week. And He's on a mission. He's going somewhere. He wants to save the world. That's why He came. He's interceding at the moment. He's praying right now for you. But He's also here. And He's coming by, and He's sort of walking by, and you can be distracted. You can think about lots of other things. Or maybe you think, well, I'm going to settle my life one day when I'm more perfect. No. God is not looking for your perfection. He's looking for your heart. He's the healer. He's the savior. He's not asked you to save yourself. He's not asked you to heal yourself. All you need to do is you need to take that jacket. You need to throw it off and run to Him. You need to take the last bit of strength that you have, and you need to run to Him. You need to touch the hem of His garment. When you touch it, He's not just going to physically heal people here today. He's going to make people whole. Because do you know what? Jesus cannot be somebody different. That's just who He is. He is the Savior. He is the healer. He is the bright morning star. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the King of kings. He is the bread of life. He is the light of the world. And so when you encounter that light, all darkness will flee out of your life. There will be no more room for darkness when Jesus walks into your life, because He is the light. He cannot hide Himself. He cannot be somebody different. All you need to do is to come and bring your darkness to the light. When He says He is the bread, then it means very simply, you can come and eat of Him today. He's not 3 weeks ago's bread. He's living the bread. He's the living bread right now. If you're hungry, you must come and eat. He said to that woman at the well, I'm going to give you water where you will never thirst again. Because that's just who He is. He's the living waters. When you drink of it, virtue will flood your life. And you know what? It's very simple. Just be honest as you come. Just say to Him, I need you, Jesus. I need you as a Savior. I need you as a healer. I need you to come and make me whole today, because I cannot continue in the way that I've been continuing. I need a doctor. And Lord, I know when I touch you, not when I touch somebody that's going to pray for me or a nice prayer, that's going to do nothing for me. No, when I touch the hem of your garment, you're going to heal me. When I say to you, Jesus, come and heal me, come and save me, come and deliver me. That's what He's going to do. He cannot do anything else than just be Himself. But you need to ask Him. I want every eye to close. Because maybe there's just one person here that needs Jesus as a Savior here today. Maybe there's one person here that has walked away from Jesus, from your first love, from knowing Him. Then what a great opportunity, because He's here today for you to say to Him, Jesus, I want you to save me. Jesus, come and save me. Come and give me a whole new brand life. Don't put the little pieces together of the vase. Don't, Lord, try and patch me up, because you don't do second-hand jobs. You don't do a patching up business. You only make things new. I want to have a new life. And He's going to forgive you. He's going to cleanse you. He's going to wash you. He's going to give you a brand new life, as if it's the first day of a new life. We call it being born again. I want to ask you, if there's anybody like that here today, I want you to raise your hand very high. I want you to say, that's me. I need a Savior today. But remember, you need to be honest. Remember, you need to open up your heart. And remember, you don't need to care about what the people around you think, because they want to stone you. Hopefully not the people in here, but people out there. They want to stone you. But you know what? Jesus, His attention is always on you. I want to see, is there anybody like that? You need to come back to God, or for the first time, you need to commit your life to Christ. Or maybe you've backslidden and you're just far from Jesus. Thank you. Anybody else? I want you to raise your hand quickly. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you at the back. Raise your hand very high, because today it's about Jesus. It's not about a little game. It's not about a religion. It's not about a church. It's not about, you need a family. We're going to slot you into the family. But it's so important. You must come to Jesus first. Don't come to church. Come to Jesus. Quickly, if that's you, if God is speaking to you and you need to turn your lifestyle around, you need to come to Him to say, God, I want a new life. Then this morning, He's going to save you. This morning, He's going to do a new work in your life, and He's going to change you for eternity's sake. Or maybe you need to come back to that first love. Then this morning, come out of that place. Throw off that jacket. Come out of that place of a label where people say, no, you're not worth it. I want to tell you, the blood of Jesus makes you worth Him, receiving Him today. Anybody else? If you've raised your hand, you can lower it again. There's anybody more like this? Last opportunity. You're going to have lots of opportunities, but if God is speaking to you now, when the King invites you now, you come. You don't go and settle it at home, because you can't save yourself. He's going to save you, but He's inviting you to be your Savior now, this moment. And what an opportunity to be in the audience of eternity and the angels of heaven. Because they're going to rejoice when your heart turns to God today. Quickly, is there anybody else that needs to lift up your hand right now? You need to say to God, God, I need a Savior. I'm going under. Help Jesus. Save Jesus. Restore Jesus. Come Jesus. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Last opportunity. Now I'm going to ask you, very simply, if you've raised your hand, I want you to walk out straight and come and meet me right here in front. We're going to pray a prayer together. Maybe you're backslidden, and this morning, Jesus is speaking to you and say, come back to your first love. He wants to restore to you. If you've raised your hand, I don't want anybody to walk around now except those people that are coming to the front. This is a holy moment. I don't want anybody to talk with anybody else, because now is the most precious moment in this life, is when one soul turns to Christ. Then we have respect, because God is doing an eternal life. So I don't want anybody to walk around. You stay, you hold your whatever you need to hold, because this is important for Jesus. So let's have respect. So quickly, if you need to be in front, we're going to pray with you. Don't stare at the people. They're just coming. They're just saying, Jesus, I need a Savior. And what an amazing day. What an amazing opportunity to say to that King, come and make everything new. I just sense there are one or two people still that need to be in front, and I'm waiting for you. If you're a bit shy, I'm going to run to you. I'll send somebody to you if I can't run fast enough. Because today you need to turn your ways around. You need to repent of your sin. You need to repent of being in control of your life. And you need to say to Jesus, Jesus, here I am. Save me. I need a Savior. Then anybody else? Last opportunity. Quickly, we're going to just pray a prayer together. This is the most amazing moment that we can experience in our lives. And I want all of you in front, just quickly look up at me. I want to say to you, you're the only person standing here, you're the only person that would ever respond. Jesus would still come all the way to the cross because of His love for you. He didn't die on the cross for somebody else. He died for you first. But yet He also died for the others. But very important, you need to know that this morning, that what He did on the cross, you can receive that. When he prayed that prayer, he said, Father, forgive them because they do not know what they're doing. He prayed it over you and he prayed it over me. And that's why we're here this morning, just to say to him, Jesus, come and wash me clean. Come and make me new. Come and give me a new life. So will you pray with me? If you're standing there at the back, let's all pray together. Lord, here I am, a sinner, busy drowning. Come and save me. Save me from myself. I get off my throne and I place you this morning on the throne of my life. I make you number one and I ask that you forgive my sins and that you cleanse me from all my filthiness and that you save me and give me a new life. I receive you, Jesus, into my heart. I believe that you died on the cross for me to wash away my sins. And from this moment on, I am going to live for eternity. And I will never be the same again because I am now a son and a daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Here I am, Lord. I belong to you. From now on, I am your possession. Nothing else in this world compares to knowing you. Teach me to walk in your ways, to hear your voice. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody says, Amen. Let's just give God a shout in this place. Hallelujah, Jesus! I want you today, take some time off. Take a Bible. If you haven't got one, we'll sort one for you. Or some of these people give their Bibles to you. But what you need to do is go and read the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then every time, you just start to read it from the one, from chapter one, and you read it through. Every time before you read, you pray a very simple prayer. You say, Jesus, show me who you really am. Then when there's a blind guy sitting next to the road, you put your name in that blind guy's place. When there's a man sitting up in a tree looking to see Jesus, then you put your name in there. You read it in your person as if it's you receiving from him. And he's going to teach you what it means to walk the life. Then very important, you need to slot into the church, and I believe that's why you're here. Whether you're from Windhoek or whether you're from Swakop, there are pastors and people that will take care of you. You need to be discipled. You need to learn how to walk this road, to just hear God's voice and to experience Him. He's going to do amazing stuff in and through your life. Look at me, look at me. Don't look down. He loves you. Okay, some of you, you can just see there's like bags of cement off your life because you just think you're such a bad person. No, no, now you're a child of God. But now it's only now that now it starts. Walking a road. Some stuff you're going to need to say no to that you've been doing in the past. Because your flesh is going to always want to try to do those things again. But now you need to learn what it means to walk in this world. Amen? So I want some people to come and join them here in front. They can pray with him. Some facilitators, some guys and ladies from the church here. Quickly, we're going to just spend a moment. That Paul team, people come quickly. Okay, what I want you guys to do, I want you to go and sit there at the back in the corner there because we don't want you to miss the worship. But we're going to just chat quickly with you. Just sit to your right and go around that side. Is that all right? Even we need some ladies also. Some ladies, just turn around, just go and meet them. They're going to pray with you just quickly. They all look so beautiful, amen? Woohoo! People, did you know that there's not one thing in Scripture that has a direct reaction in heaven except when a soul comes to know Christ? Scripture says the whole of heaven stops and rejoices. Our worship doesn't change heaven. Our praise doesn't change anything in heaven except when one soul, because that's the only thing we can take with us to heaven. We're going to worship in heaven. It's the only thing that's not in heaven. Our souls. And that's why what happened here this morning is so important. That's our first priority. We live to see other people come to know Christ. That's our call. Amen? The second thing that we're going to do this morning, if you are here and you need to be made whole, there's some emotional stuff in your life, there's some discouragements, depression, stuff that's weighing you down. You cannot sleep at night. There's just stuff, family stuff in your life, and you need healing for that. Or if you are here this morning and you need physical healing, then that same Jesus is your deliverer and He's your healer here today. He's going to heal people and He's going to deliver him, because He cannot be somebody else. He's still the same. And so we're going to give you an opportunity to respond to Him and to invite Him as the healer and the deliverer in your life. And you know, the most amazing thing happens when we just come to open and say, Lord, I need your healing. That's exactly what He's going to do. He's going to heal you. Hello. 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 Yeah, it's a good place to say amen, because that's just who He is. I just love Him because He never changes. He hasn't got mood swings. He doesn't feel up here about you today and then tomorrow He feels down there and He's discouraged because you do stuff wrong in your life. That Jesus is the same. He's always in love with you. He's always looking and focusing on you. And even if you just take one step, He says He rejoices about that one step, because He says, wow, you're drawing close to Him. You're drawing closer to Him. There's a man here that are on the verge of losing your business. This Wednesday just passed. You thought that it's finished. Specific guy here that is just feeling that you're down in the dumps. And you just need to be encouraged. I want to pray for you. There's also two ladies here. There's a lady here with heel problems. Is it the right word? Yeah, at the back of your foot. You've got intense heel pains and skin problems in your heels. And the Lord wants to heal you. Today, this moment. There's also, I believe, three people here that has got blood problems. The one causes heart palpitations, heart beatings. And the Lord wants you to have normal heart problems, but it's got a certain blood problems. And there's also somebody here with, I just sent in my spirit, that has got somebody in your family that has got leukemia, or maybe even somebody here, but it's, I feel there's somebody's family that has got blood cancer, leukemia. That's just a word that just drops into my mind, and you need to stand in the gap. You need to, maybe you're here even. But I just get this word leukemia that God wants to heal today. Okay, we're going to pray for you. Will those people that, just quickly respond. If that's you, one of those people, is that you? Just come quickly to the front. We're going to pray for you. God is going to heal you. And we're going to trust God. Some other people that heart problems people, there's some people with heart problems. There's also somebody here with problems in your left ear. Okay, just come and stand right here in front. We're going to just worship God together. There's pain in your right ear, even right now. And infection and stuff in your right ear. You cannot hear properly in your left ear. Left ear. Where are you? Is that you? Quickly come. We're going to pray for you. Just come. Don't be shy. Come and stand. We're just going to have a massive group hug here in front. We're going to just allow Jesus to heal. There's also somebody here, that businessman, I want to pray for you. You want to come up quickly as well. Just come stand here. Where's that business person? Is that you? Okay. Just come. We're going to pray for you. God is going to do a miracle in your life. You know, He's the miracle working God. Okay, listen, guys. I want you to focus now. Christians, it's time to pray. We're not here spectators this morning. Don't want you to look around. Lots of people, lots of things are happening. But when the Holy Spirit moves, we focus. Okay? So if you're not listening, then you're praying. Because God is going to set people free. Amen? He does it in love, but He does it in order. There's also some people here that has got knee problems. I just felt that this morning we must pray for people that has got knee problems, especially struggling with the English words today. Ligament problems in your knees. There's somebody here with that has hurt it, and you've hurt it 3 or 4 times already. Serious ligament tearing stuff. And you've got a pain in your knee right now. Where are you? I want to pray for you today. Just quickly. Is that you? Come. Come. We're going to pray for you. Where's that? Which one of you have heard it like 4 times? There were 3 or 4 big times that you've heard it. I want to pray for you first. Is that you? Okay, is that you? So quickly come. So what we're going to do now, just stand here in front. We're going to worship God together first. We're going to just come to Jesus. What we're going to do now is, if you have got faith to pray for one of these people, you feel that you want to pray for one of them, because I'm not supposed to do the work of the ministry, the church is, okay? The days are over when there's just one man running up here and down and being like God's whatsoever man of power for the hour stuff. No, God uses ordinary people. Because I couldn't speak properly when I went to school. Did you know that? I had to go to school a year later because I couldn't speak to people. So God has got a great sense of humor that I'm standing here in front of you today. So if God can use me, He can use anybody here. By the way, there is somebody here that has got stuttering speak problems. And God wants to heal you. He just wants to bring a peace in your life. Where are you? You cannot speak properly. That person at the back, where are you? I want to pray for you personally, because if God can do it for me, I can give it away to you. He wants to do that in your life right now. Where are you? Lots of stuff. Is that you at the back? I want you to come stand here. I'm going to pray for you first. And you know, Christians, you can give it away. What God has done in your life, you can go and pray for somebody else. Why? Because it's just a testimony. People can deny the word of God, people can deny lots of stuff, but they cannot deny what God has done in your life. What's your name? McDonald. Yo. McDonald, I'm going to pray for you now. So quickly, if you've got faith, doesn't mean the others haven't got faith, but if you feel like for one of these people specifically you want to pray today, I want you to quickly come. Come stand here behind them. We're going to pray for them. Come, I need a couple of people. We need about 12 people here. The first 12 that come, I want you to come. We're going to just release what God has said over their lives. Amen?